This is Rabbi Avital Hochstein of Machon Hadar. Parashat Tazria Metzora, 5777. Subject, object, and reader in Parashat Tazria Metzora. The 13th chapter of Sefer Vayikra talks about tzara'at, among other surface afflictions of the human body and of physical property. There are two verbs that appear repeatedly in this discussion. The first is to quarantine, sagar. In addition to evaluating the identity and severity of the affliction, the Kohen will quarantine the affliction, and the Kohen will quarantine him, etc., etc. The second verb that appears in almost every single verse of the chapter is the verb to see, ra'ah. The verb to see has varied applications and meanings throughout the chapter, one of which I will explore here. In particular, I will suggest that this verb plays a part in constructing a specific social dynamic. There are three perspectives that are constructed through seeing in this passage: the one who sees, the one who is seen, and we, the readers, who see the seeing. Initially, we are led to believe that the subject of the story is the person who has the skin affliction, as they are the focus of the first verse. When a person has on the skin of his body a swelling, a rash, or a discoloration, and so on. However, as the chapter continues over the next 60 verses, the afflicted person is barely mentioned again. Instead, the focus of the seeing and the attention of the Kohen is on the skin affliction itself. The person who bears that affliction is hardly present as a subject. This tendency towards depersonalization is also present in the process of quarantine, where the lines between the person and the affliction are blurred, such that at times the person is not even spoken about at all. For example, when it says, "And the Kohen will quarantine the affliction for 7 days," the discussion effectively erases the subjectivity of the one who bears the affliction and reduces him to a conveyance. The earliest example of this elimination of subjectivity is evident in the continuation of the second verse in the chapter discussed above. When a person has on the skin of his body a swelling, a rash, or a discoloration, and it develops into a scaly affliction on the skin of his body, it shall be brought to Aharon the priest or to one of his sons, the priests. It is not clear who or what is the subject of the verb and is brought, the person or the affliction. And even if you read the verse as speaking about the person, the verb is passive. He does not come, rather he is brought. Although it appears that the focus, the heroine of the chapter, is the tzara'at itself, I would like to center our attention on the people who are involved in the process. It appears that the central human figure in the chapter is the Kohen. He is the one who is most active in the process of seeing and identifying. The priest shall examine the affliction on the skin of the body. When the priest sees it, he shall pronounce him unclean. The priest shall isolate the affected person, and so on and so forth. The priest, the Kohen, is the one who examines all of the afflictions and diagnoses them. He looks at the color of the affliction and its depth, the hair inside it, and also how the rash behaves. The priest, then, is the most central and active person in this passage. Through his different seeing, he defines the status of the affliction, consequently the social status of the one who is afflicted, whether pure or impure, quarantined or not. The act of seeing constructs and preserves a power structure in a society in which there are those who do the seeing and those who are seen. There are those who are active subjects who choose where and how to look, and those who remain passive objects of sight, dependent on the assessing eye of their beholders. A text, though, does not stand alone. It encounters its readers and affects them. What process do we, the biblical readers, go through as we read this chapter? With whom do we identify, and how is this identification constructed? Where do we fit into the power dynamic that this chapter describes? In some respects, we are most like the Kohen, being called in to learn about and examine the affliction. Whatever information is revealed to him in the verses is also revealed to us, read the readers. In effect, we only have whatever details he has been given as well. We are invited, as it were, into the work of the Kohen to perform the examination with him, to decide, to evaluate, to quarantine, to establish purity or impurity. This chapter creates an identity and identification of our perspective with the priestly perspective. The afflicted person is compelled to stand before both the Kohen and the readers as an object, nothing more. It is not only that he is described in the third person, when a person has and so forth, but also with passive language applied to him. In addition, he himself is never described as a whole person. The only thing that is deemed worthy of description is the affliction that he carries. Furthermore, the body of the person who has tzara'at is the object of the observation in the chapter, and he is compelled to submit to the gaze. He is not described as choosing to appear or to approach the Kohen, nor does he volunteer to be subjected to the reader's scrutiny. The text aligns our gaze as the readers of the text with the viewpoint of the Kohen. There's something aggressive and voyeuristic in this role. Voyeuristic because our participation is uninvited, and aggressive because the reader is evaluating the proper fate of another. Within this dynamic, the hierarchy being constructed relegates the metzora himself to the bottom rung. Not only is he likely to be declared impure and quarantined, but throughout the process he is treated like an object of scrutiny rather than a person with his own subjective vision or agency. This is a standard outcome of being the object of seeing. The person who is seen, like any object that is seen, is reduced to just what is of interest to the seer. In our case, the skin affliction, and nothing else. As such, this biblical chapter ends up teaching us so much more than just a lesson in skin lesions. It is fundamentally a lesson about seeing. One of the ways in which a society builds and sustains hierarchy is through directing and restricting sight lines, determining who are the seers and who are the seen. Those who see are those who have status and power. The chapter reveals who has the knowledge and the power by highlighting the lines of sight. Seeing, then, serves as a fascinating litmus test to evaluate status and values. Periodically, we should evaluate whether we are being invited to see or be seen, to be active or to be passive, to be scrutinizer or the one under scrutiny. Moreover, we have to examine whether enough social mobility exists in our society. We have to ask whether these roles are fixed or fixable. Do we open up the opportunity for those whom we stare at to glare back at us, to make demands with their eyes, to subject the seer to examination? Is there possibility for mutual seeing? And if there is, what would that seeing look like? Shabbat Shalom.